Moncrief on News Talk.
When method actors, actors take on a role, they live with the character they're portraying. But what happens when filming is over? Do they snap back to themselves or continue for weeks afterwards with a limp or a bad British accent? Brian Lloyd is here to run us through a few examples. Afternoon, Brian.
How you doing?
Daniel Day-Lewis, of course, the most famous method actor, is about to return to acting.
That's right, yeah. But his son, like, I mean, how about making nepotism work for you? Like, you're literally, calling your dad up and being like, here, listen, I need you to be in my film. Come out of retirement for it, like.
Okay. And have they announced what the role's going to be?
No, the name of the film is like Anemone, and they're filming it now in Manchester, and Sean Bean is in it and Samantha Morton is in it. I don't even know if Day-Lewis has a big role in it, but it's his son that it's directing it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
But of course, I suppose he'd know what dad can be like. So.
Sure. Yeah.
So give us, are there examples of this?
Oh,
does
that
actually genuinely continue afterwards?
It does. And I will fully admit, I was initially sceptical about this. I thought that, come on, that's just a lot of crap. Like, because you hear about Lady Gaga walking around dressed up like Harley Quinn and all the rest of it. I mean, that's purely just doing this for the Joker Folly of Jew thing. Like, that's all that is. Like, that's just purely on the promo trail. And especially when they talk up, you know, like, there's been, with the Oscars lately, there's been this kind of thing of like actors are going out with their begging cup talking about how, like, you know, oh, I broke 3 ribs when I was doing this from Scream. And, you know, when Leonardo DiCaprio was doing The Revenant, how, like, you know, he nearly froze to death in Alaska. But that, you know, that helped to inform the role and all the rest of it. Like, yes, some actors do go through a lot and some of them do carry on traits, but a lot of the time it is. A lot of this is just kind of mythologizing.
Marketing,
mythologizing the role and how far it went for them, you know?
Mm,
but there are examples of it. Like Hugh Laurie, for example, when he was playing House MD, because he was in that character for like 8 seasons and they were like, this was in the old days when they were doing like 24 episodes, like they were working it. And he really did kind of develop a bit of a limp as a result. Like he had trouble with his hips afterwards, apparently. And James Gandolfini, when he was doing Tony Soprano, he put on a lot of weight for that role. Now, not that he was a big guy to begin with. But like he kind of like sized out in terms of what he was doing. And, you know, his idea for that was that Tony Soprano was supposed to be this big, burlish, bluto kind of character. So he packed on the weight. And then when the series was over, he basically found it difficult to drop the weight and kind of get back into a more sort of, not say svelte, but you know what I mean? Like he found it difficult to lose the weight. Like So that can happen in terms of like there will be physical attributes. In the case of Paul Newman, when he was doing that film Slapshot, he said afterwards that he basically kept cursing because the he was playing like a nice hockey player coach, and it's a very, if you've ever seen Slapshot, it's brilliant, but it's very bawdy, like, you know, the language is pretty, you know, terrible and stuff. They say the F word every 5 minutes in it, it's that kind of thing. And he noticed that after the role was done, for months afterwards, he'd just keep cursing as much because he was so used to kind of just dropping the word in every so often. You know? And
you
that can happen.
Kind of understand that.
Yeah, I would understand that totally. Yeah. And even with like, you know, Austin Butler and his whole thing with the accent when he was doing Elvis, like, again, he was doing that for the production for that took so long. And because it's so difficult to kind of get the Elvis voice right, what a lot of actors do, certainly Daniel Day-Lewis does this, is that he keeps the accent going when the cameras are off because he doesn't want to lose it, you know, that sort of way. And some actors talk about how they'll have a phrase or some kind of like word that they'll just keep repeating to get their voice back and their mouth back to that thing. Like I think when Colin Farrell was doing Penguin, he would talk about like he had some word like reception or something like that that he'd keep repeating in the character's accent to kind of click back into it. Like, so when Austin Butler was talking about having that accent for months after Elvis, like, I get it. That makes sense because it was that unusual of an accent that he just kept doing it after. I mean, I interviewed him for Elvis and when I heard him talk and I just thought, oh God, he really does kind of sound like Elvis. God, that's so fortuitous that he actually does sound like, and then it's like, no, he doesn't sound like that really. He just, his voice dropped into that register and just stayed that way for months.
Oh, wow. And like Jim Carrey, when he played Andy Kaufman, did he go a bit mad?
He did.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that documentary?
Yeah.
Like you can read, if you have the documentary, about it, for anyone who doesn't know, it's called Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond. And it's really kind of like about how far an actor will go to get into character. And in the case of Jim Carrey, like, you know, he was in a bit of a crossroads in his career, and he was really inspired by Andy Kaufman coming up, and he felt, and his father died as well, and his father was a big Andy Kaufman fan. And he went so far into it that he basically thought that he had kind of, and again, this is kind of woo-woo, but he felt that he had actually summoned the spirit of Andy Kaufman and had gone into his body. And like, it got that far. The documentary is brilliant because it's really no holds barred. Like, it's really warts and all. And in fact, Universal actually buried the behind the scenes footage for years because they were like, if this gets out, Jim Carrey will never have a career again because he was so bad at it. And blah. But there was a guy in it, a wrestler, a real life wrestler called Jerry the King Lawler, who knew Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, they fought each other.
And when Jim Carrey came out, like, you know, Jim Carrey was roaring and shouting at Jerry King Lawler. And Jerry Lawler afterwards was like, look, I knew Andy Kaufman. It was all a work. It was all just we were putting it on. We really got on. We weren't antagonistic at all. I don't know what Jim Carrey's doing, but this isn't right. Like, he wasn't like this. And, you know, that, again, the whole thing with that was that Jim Carrey, like, he lived, sleep, breathed the role. And then it kind of broke him in a way because he never went that far again into developing a character and living it and all the rest of it. And I think the fact that Man on the Moon didn't really do for him what he thought it would do, I think that kind of broke his sort of, I don't know, I don't want to say his professionalism, but it definitely made him not work so hard anymore, you know, in a way.
Broke him mind, body and spirit. Yeah. On that uplifting note, we'll leave it there. Brian, thanks a million for coming into us. Brian Lloyd there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.